The following podcast is part of the Never Nervous Network, a podcast network showcasing the best and brightest new shows coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. Catch up on all the local haps with the Never Nervous podcast. Get your horror movie fix with the House by the Video Store. Discuss hot button topics with the Parade of Horribles podcast. Hear an actual conversation on actual conversations. And then get wild with me, Sean Thriller Smith, on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. The Never Nervous Podcast Network is available on iTunes, so like, subscribe, rate, and review. Keep up to date on everything going on in Louisville, Kentucky with the Never Nervous Network. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. It is episode number 14 of the show. Can't believe it. We're already in April already. You heard me. And time has certainly flown, that's for sure. And on today's episode, we have Lady Robert. She has a website, Untamed Anti-Human, that she's going to be talking about. It's all about shedding the conventional norms and being your own person, being your own man or woman, and doing what makes you happy and not necessarily what you're told to do. And she's going to be talking about her website on the show. She's also going to be talking about her musical career, her musical interests. She's going to be talking about her week-long road trip that she took on the way getting down here and all kinds of fun stuff. She's a great guest, and this was recorded all the way back in February, and since then, her website's just really been taking off. So, guys, check it out at untamedantihuman.com, and I've got links there. So you'll get to see it. I will tell you the links are NSFW, guys, not suitable for work because it has tasteful, modeling in it that does show some skin. And like I said, it's all about shedding the inhibitions. And I guess that means shedding clothes too from time to time and just being your own, true self. And it's all done in an artistic manner. It's not necessarily going to be something that you would see in like an adult magazine or something like that. But you guys, dude, this is 2017. You know how Instagram and Twitter is. You see that pretty regularly, that type of modeling. So, yeah, but she's out there doing it, making moves, talking about how she got into first doing that type of modeling and her friends and family's reaction to it. She's going to be talking about her musical career. We're going to showcase her up-and-coming single from her new album, Fire Queen, that's in the works right now. So we got the exclusive on that. And yeah, so definitely you're going to want to tune into my conversation with Lady Robert. And then for me this week, man, I've just been really hustling, selling those t-shirts, selling the koozies and all that sort of thing. If you guys like it and you don't necessarily want to pay extra online, I mean, I know that with online, you got to pay for shipping and all that sort of thing. Just hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want, my email. I mean, all that's always listed every week. So, but it's at Sean versus Wild. On anything. Instagram is at Sean versus Wild podcast, Sean versus Wild at Gmail. You can just get a hold of me and we'll work something out here for you. I'm trying to get rid of some of these, some of this new swag already to make room for not only more swag, but also too, I've got some new recording equipment that's on my Amazon wish list and I'm ready to make that wish a reality, guys. So that way I can have a better quality show just for you. And speaking of a great quality show, I got to thank Joe Brock. He's the one that makes it sound so good. He's at Supernatch Studios day and night. I don't think the guy's gotten a hot nap in about 3 months. And he's always just booping dials and making sure that I sound like, you know, like the way Bob Barker sounds on The Price is Right. Or the way, you know, Diane Sawyer sounds on 2020. Just like super professional. You know, that's Joe's job. Okay, he's got to auto-correct me to make sure I have this lovely, deep radio voice just every week, and that's what Joe does. So thank you, Joe. I appreciate you. I appreciate a lot of people, including my sponsors at the Never Nervous Network and including my sponsors at Audiophile Inc. I've been talking about both of those guys. You've heard the Never Nervous commercial as this thing started up. And then with Audiophile Inc., I mean, that's where I got these shirts printed. That's where these koozies came from. That's where all my merch has come from over the last decade. And I've told you that time and time again. And I'm so happy to hear that this show has been referring some business over to them because they're a quality product, a fair price, and they've been that way ever since I've known them. And so if you want to get your t-shirts, your koozies, you want to get your under pantaloons printed, go to Shane at Audiophile Inc. That's audiophileinc.com, and he's going to set you up. He's got a brand new website coming up too, so be on the lookout for that. And you can always just check it out at audiophileinc.com, audiophileinc.com. All right, guys. I just ad-libbed that right off the top of my dome piece. So that might sound a little scattered for everyone, that opening intro. But, dude, I did it all by myself. Didn't even write it down this time. I just woke up super early, got a new schedule at work, woke up super early, and I decided I'm going to knock this thing out. So we did it, guys. Also, I'm still, I think, on a little bit of a high because at the time of this recording, WrestleMania was last night, and boy, was it a good one. I know everybody, when it comes to wrestling, like, loves it and hates it at the same time, but last night I had no complaints. Maybe a few complaints with, like, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton's match just because I felt like it could have went a little longer, but, I mean, that WrestleMania was super long. I mean, I had, like, 7.5 hours of wrestling to watch yesterday, and it was the greatest time of the year. It's like Christmas for me, guys. Anyway, if you also like wrestling, leave me a comment or maybe shoot me an email. You can check the show out at SeanVersusWild.com. Please subscribe on iTunes. Again, hit me with that 5-star rating if you like it, if you tune in every week. I've got about 15 5-star ratings. That's awesome. I appreciate you taking just a few moments out of your day to do that. Just the more 5 stars, the more visibility, which means, you know, more listeners, of course, on the other end, and more listeners equals more, I don't know, sponsors and more content and all kinds of stuff that I can do here for you guys. So thank you so much for that. Check it out at Twitter at Sean versus Wild. Dude, my Twitter game has been on point for the past couple weeks because I figured out how to really make Twitter a thing. And boy, am I loving Twitter, because Sebastian Bach from Skid Row, one of my faves, he messaged me the other day. Maybe not messaged me, but I guess what he would reply to one of my tweets, I guess. That was cool. I've had a lot of other people that whose work I enjoy like and reply to some of my tweets. So I'm like, man, this Twitter thing is where it's at. So at Sean versus Wild, at Sean versus Wild podcast on Instagram. And yeah, you can follow me on Stitcher or subscribe on Stitcher, I should say. You can also get it at iHeartRadio, Google Play. I'm on a new app called Satchel, which is really nice because if you sign up for Satchel, you can find podcasts that are relevant to your geographic location. So if you just want to say listen to local podcasts and you're in, you know, Portland, Oregon, you flip on your location and it'll show you all the podcasts that are come out of Portland, Oregon, or more importantly, Louisville, Kentucky, and then you'll see mine. Also, right there is a donate button. So if you like what you hear, you can straight up donate to my PayPal if you wanted to. I'm not asking for a handout, but if you like what you hear, you want to support the show, that's pretty tight. Like I said, I've got a big investment coming off my Amazon wish list, and I got to pay for this thing so that way I can make you sound, make myself sound even better and make those podcasts sound even better for you. Anyway, that's enough for me. Like I said, I'm rambling. I happen to get up early. I'm still on that WrestleMania kick. I figured I'd knock this thing out. That's enough for me. Let's get wild.
Am I allowed to say that on here?
What?
That I was blacked out?
Oh, yeah. So you were in Broad Ripple? This is day 3 of a 3-day journey for you.
Yeah, and actually we might extend it to Nashville tonight, maybe into tomorrow. We're not sure yet. So
right. Mm-hmm. Well, you got a big website launch. You got to celebrate.
We did. We actually we started our celebration late Friday night in Indianapolis after the launch. So that was it. Was a wild night.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith, in the Smithsonian today. I'm in the West Wing of the Smithsonian again because I like the way it sounded so much. With some of my previous episodes. I've got Lady Robert here. She is a musician, a model, and she's the president and CEO of Untamed Anti-Human. Untamed Anti-Human, a website. Website that's like, it's modeling and it's culture, it's a lifestyle.
Oh, boy, it is. We're creating something right now that I think, I mean, the title says it, Untamed Anti-Human. You know, we all have our human instincts, and so many people are just going against things like that for so long, and we're just bringing it out of people. We're making them believe things that they don't even know they believe in yet. So,
where did the name come from? Is it just
just to say that you have no rules, you can't be tied down?
Yeah, we want to spit in the face of the law every second of every day, and we do.
And so, guys, we just kind of popped in mid-conversation here, but we were discussing, I was discussing with Lady Robert here, her website, Untamed Anti-Human, just launched at the recording of this podcast. So here we are. This will probably air in March, and we are sometime still in February. But your website just launched, and you had a road trip celebration.
Yes, we have. We are continuing it on, and it's gone so well that we've, like I said, we've decided to probably go down to Nashville and continue the celebration.
So day one was Indianapolis.
Yep.
I want to touch base on this, because Indianapolis is also kind of a stomping ground for me. I got family up there.
Yeah.
And when I saw that you were in Broad Ripple, I was like, hey, I've drank in Broad Ripple before.
Oh my gosh. We drank in Broad Ripple, and I wish I could tell you stories of Broad Ripple, but they're secondhand because I don't remember. It was great.
Did you, if you're ever in the area, if you ever, you should check out Broad Ripple Vintage. If you're, if I know that you're into like thrifting and vintage clothing, and fashion's a very high, high up on your list of interest.
Yep.
Have you ever been to Broad Ripple Vintage?
Is that, I think they have a vinyl store in there too. Is that
they
the
might
same place?
Now. I haven't been in a while.
Yep.
But I used to go a couple times a year. All like from like 2003 to like 2013, I would just pop in there a couple times a year. And every time I ever went in there, so for like the 20, 30 times I've been in there, they always are playing The Doors.
Oh, I love The Doors.
No matter what
I
day
would love
I
this
went.
Place.
So you celebrated, and then yesterday you had a big photo shoot, modeling shoot in Louisville.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm.
So, and how did that go?
It was one of the most amazing photo shoots I've ever been in. We went into a studio. This man opened up his home to us. He's actually got a garage outside of his home, and we went in there, and it was so professional and so beautiful. There was a lot of different sets to shoot with. I'm really big on lighting when it comes to my modeling, and this guy was the lighting god. And we've released a couple photos today on social media, and I just keep getting them back, and they are just, wow, they're amazing. It was a great experience.
That's awesome. And then now day three, you're joining me here,
I am.
Here at the Smithsonian for the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Yeah, this is actually the reason that we came down.
Oh, you flatter me.
I try,
this
Sean.
This is actually, we focused the whole trip around you,
Sean. We really did. We really did. You know, I love Louisville. And so we decided that coming down here, we would hang out in Louisville. We went to Spinelli's last night. Mm-hmm. We got our giant slices of pizza. We hit the 24-hour 21C Museum.
Oh, yeah.
That was great, as always. So we pretty much just tried to find different things to do while we were down here. So I found a photo or a photographer, and we drank a lot. So.
Well, now I'm sure people are going to realize immediately that you're not from around here. You're not from around these parts.
No,
you're from Northern.
Not.
We're both Hoosiers, so it's always a pleasure to speak with a fellow Indianimal, fellow Hoosier. But you're from South Bend area.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yep.
So, and everybody that's listening is going to be like, she says Louisville, which is, I think, is a new thing. I've heard Louisville, 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 all that sort of thing. But
you got to say it like Louisville. You have cotton balls in your mouth. Louisville.
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 WNBC. So, yeah. And, well, thank you very much for joining us here. And so let's start out here with your modeling career, because your Instagram is extremely popular.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I would say if you want to check it out, there's a lot of you do certainly show off a lot of your assets
on
the Instagram. You have no inhibitions.
No.
When it comes to that.
Untamed, 100%.
I wish I could be that confident.
You know what? I do too. So many people say that to me all the time, and I don't know where it came from. I don't really know how it started. I get that question a lot. I just posted one day, and it got a lot of recognition, and I was like, hey, I could do this.
Right.
So, you know, there were no real rules for me. There was no set direction. It just happened. And, you know, the more that people comment and like and give me feedback, the more, you know, I really do get into it. But I think I probably, I don't know, I just really enjoy it. I really do love it, so.
Well, it seems like it's very your Instagram is a very hot place to be. How did you get into modeling by accident, I guess?
I really did. it sounds like the stupidest story in the world. I wish I had some I got attacked by a bear scenario, but I
shark attack got me into modeling.
Ripped my clothes off. No, I like I said, you know, I just posted a photo one time and I was very nervous about it. It was completely nude. You couldn't see anything. But it's very artistic, and I got so much recognition. I got hit up by so many really, really prestigious photographers. And I had my first photo shoot down in Indianapolis probably a month later in January in a cemetery, and I was completely naked. It was so cold, but it turned out to be one of the best events that I could have possibly been welcomed into.
Well, so. It's kind of crazy how things just come about on accident, and you get like just a little bit of positive feedback. That's kind of that's kind of the thing with this podcast. I did a podcast once. I was like the guest on a podcast, and somehow it just all worked out that no one else besides me was able to do it. So I did it by myself, and I went back and listened to it. And I was like, wow, there's a certain magic to it. Like that's actually a great
sound,
podcast.
The essence, yeah.
And then one day I was at I was recording, and I kind of mentioned this story on a few episodes back with my friend Kayday. She was recording in a studio with Craig Owens.
Okay.
And Craig Owens and I were talking. I'd never met the guy before, but we were just talking about our mutual interests in movies and podcasts. And he just looked at me and said, "You'd be a good host for a podcast." And
wow.
I was like, well, I got to do it now.
You got the voice for it.
So I bought a bunch of gear and it sat in my closet for like 6 months. And then finally I decided to do it. And the feedback, the positive feedback has really, really helped.
You run with it. You really run with it. And, you know, one thing, I don't know if you live by this or not, but my best thing that has helped me is fake it until you make it. And that's exactly how I started. And I'm going to be completely honest here. When I first started, I had no idea what I was doing. I somehow just did the right things. And people thought that I was a big deal even at the beginning. And I was like, yeah, I am a big deal.
You know what? I think you've got something here with this big deal thing. But yeah, that's, you know, people will message me from time to time and just and ask me like, you know, hey, your setup is great and how much money have you invested in it and what's your studio like?
Yep.
And I know like even when you came in here, it's like there is no studio but so much. It's just a coffee table and a few microphones and, you know, you can really stretch your dollar. And I think my whole podcast setup was only a couple hundred dollars just
that's awesome.
In general. But that makes me feel good when people do ask me like, you know, just like you were saying, just getting a little bit of positive feedback. And people wanting to know, like, what your secret is. And it's like, well, I don't have a secret. I'm just guessing
most
of the time.
But the secrets that I do have, I'm not telling you.
I'm not telling you.
I don't want your competition.
Well, let me ask you, what's life like for you as a model? Because I'm always seeing you out and about or with a new shoot or you're rubbing elbows with different celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, what's life like for you?
I'm going to be completely honest. It is it's an emotional roller coaster a lot, I'm going to be honest, because it's tough, you know. First of all, nobody wants to date a girl that is a nude model. They don't. So that's tough sometimes, but, you know, you find some of the most beautiful people because I do get to travel a lot. Like you said, I get to hang out with famous people like Alice Cooper, you know, Last May, I was on his tour bus with him and eating dinner with the band and backstage, and it's great, you know. But there are some things I get a lot of negative feedback, which to me is very positive of feedback.
In your line of work, I agree. Like, I think if you have people that are kind of hating on what you're doing, and I guess even in my line of work, anybody that's doing something, I feel, where you're putting a personal piece of yourself out there and you're getting people that are reacting negatively, well, at least that person not only paid it enough attention to hate it, but then they paid enough attention to give you a negative.
To
state it. Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, and I actually just saw Alice Cooper. You're talking about mentioning him. I just saw Alice Cooper maybe a year ago with Motley Crue.
Yeah, I saw Alice and Motley Crue. I'm actually really good friends with Alice's production manager. His name is Cesar Sabatini. So when they were on tour together last Christmas, he sent me posters of all of Motley Crue, their signatures, and all of Alice Cooper, which was pretty cool because Nikki Sixx is one of my idols.
Yeah.
So that was definitely very cool.
Well, see, you're a musician also, so I'm going to just rack your brain and pick your brain. What kind of music are you interested in? Like, what do you listen to for your own pleasure?
Rock and roll. Every day. There is so many. I mean, you have Elvis, and then you said the Doors, you know, the Beatles, which best band, hands down.
I agree. And it really kind of gets under my skin when people will say, I don't like the Beatles. And I'm just like,
then you don't know the Beatles, honey.
I'm just like, you know what? There's a Beatles song for everybody out there. And there are songs that you probably don't even know are
listen
by
the
Beatles.
B-sides.
You know?
Yeah.
Like there's songs that you probably don't even, that you probably heard a million times that you don't even know might be originally from the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But also, too, I feel like people say that for the attention that it garners.
Oh, my God. But that's, you know, that's what I said. It's so frustrating to me because I feel like when, oh, I don't like the Beatles. Well, you know, Hey Jude and Let It Be, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You go listen to the White Album, okay?
Did you grow up listening specifically to, did you like have parents and stuff that were like rockers?
Yeah. My dad was actually an Elvis impersonator. Ricky Nelson back in the 60s, 70s, I don't know, actually picked up my dad's band, Spectrum, to be their opening band.
That's amazing.
They half the band said yes, half the band said no, my dad included, and Ricky Nelson and his opening band ended up dying in a plane crash, so I would not be sitting here with you right now.
That is an insane story. Yeah. This is the first time I've ever heard you tell me that story.
Yep. Yeah.
That is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, that was almost a piece of rock and roll history. Well, talk about that's crazy. That just blew my mind.
I know. I know. And you know what? I wish my dad would have said yes.
And, you know, I grew up listening to country music.
Okay.
So, like,
I didn't.
I have an uncle that is who I get most of my music knowledge from. My mother was really interested in country music.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a house with my mother and my grandparents. My grandpa listened to, when he did listen to music, it was mostly like Hank Williams or like Burl Ives, like kind of, but he didn't really listen to music all that much. My mother and grandmother were really into like country music. My grandmother, especially like Dolly and
Okay. See, that's
Conway,
that's good. That's
all that
good
sort
country.
Of thing.
You got the rockabilly.
Right. And then my mom was into country, but I think that this is still a great age for country music is like the Garth Brooks era.
Oh my God.
Like the late 80s, early 90s, even the late 90s. I think maybe once Dixie Chicks, like I think that might have been like the last great country
thing. The last hoorah.
But before it just became like a bunch of dudes and like shell necklaces.
Skinny jeans and
but,
all this dirt and trucks.
Yeah, exactly. But I had my mom and I grew up listening to only country music, but I have an uncle that's like a total encyclopedia of rock
and
roll.
That's awesome.
And
that's how me and my dad are.
And then he randomly just introduced me to Queen's Greatest Hits one day.
Oh, I have it.
And
I
then
have it.
That was the end for me. I was like, well, I'm a rocker now.
Yep.
This is what I do.
Yep.
So I got into Queen. Then I got into, you know, Kiss and like all that other stuff.
Don't even get me started on Kiss.
So, that's great. That's always cool. But I always feel like all the music that I played was unlike the music that I actually enjoy listening to.
Yeah, that's very much me because right now I'm still looking to build my band up and I'm more of an acoustic player, so it's hard for me to play a lot of rock and roll.
Right.
My lyrics are very rock and roll, but the sound of it is very acoustic. So I feel you.
You have a lot of great videos too. You should post more, I would say, because some of my favorite parts of your Instagram is when you just get to sit down and you just jam on a guitar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sing a little bit.
The problem I'm running into right now is I am releasing my album Fire Queen here soon, and everything I've been writing is going on the album.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to focus on covering songs or writing songs that I don't want to put on the album.
Right.
So it's hard for me to, you know, post a lot of music.
Yeah. That's a big thing. It's like you're just trying to, you gotta have kind of tunnel vision. You gotta channel all your energy to completing a task instead
of
having thousands of just uncompleted or unfleshed out ideas.
It's hard.
So.
And I have thousands. So.
That's me. I always try to be like dedicated, like even something dumb, like I want to write a journal.
Yep.
Like I get 3 days into writing the journal and then I'll
never
just
open
totally,
it again.
Yeah, never open it again. And then I'll look back and like I'll just have like a notebook, just like this notebook I have here on the table that just has like two pages in it. All the rest of them are blank, but I have like 50 of these notebooks where I've tried to actually start doing this. So
that comes in handy though for, you know, me, because I'm a songwriter. I write in the same book, and I'll be feeling one way sometime and write so much on it and close it, forget I ever did it. And I have come back to that book with writer's block and just found one sentence or even one word and write an entire album.
Right.
So that definitely comes in handy in the long run.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be disciplined about it. That's my thing. It's like, I just want to be disciplined enough to do this. Oh, what you got there?
Sorry.
Oh,
That's my Smirnoff. Is that Smirnoff? No, it's Bacardi.
That is Bacardi. Lemon rum.
Limon.
Limon.
Yeah.
It's, I just had it laying around. So, I drank all the beers last night. But yeah, so, how let me ask you too, like, you've got this modeling going on, you've got your music career going on, like, how do you juggle? I know you're just shaking your head. You're like,
I don't sleep.
Right?
I don't sleep. I wish, you know, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. Last night was the first night that I had a good night's sleep in probably a month. And it was in the back seat of my truck in a Walmart parking lot with my boyfriend. We made a bed, and oh man, we slept really good, because getting the website launched, and I built the website myself from scratch.
It looks great.
Thank you. I do web design for my 8-to-5 job, you know, but this is the first one that I've built by myself, and I built it in about 2 weeks. So I work 40 plus hours a week at the advertising agency I work for. Building this, doing photo shoots for the girls, doing my own photo shoots. I think I have 4 photo shoots in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 more next week, one in Bloomington and one in Chicago. So
I can only imagine. Like, yeah, I have a hard enough time. I have to work a full-time job still. And then I do this a few times a week. Some weeks I'm busy. Like, I've got, you know, I'll do a few little episodes, a few interviews in a day or spread out over the week. But most of the time I'm not. And I always feel like I'm always tired. It's like, what'd you do? I went to work and then I watched, TV for about 4 hours.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're doing well at juggling.
Thank you.
Must be doing well at juggling everything.
It's tough. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm still pretty young. I'm not even 22 yet.
Yeah.
So, but
you got that going for, because I'm 30. And I feel all of them.
That's why I
feel
I don't
all
sleep,
30 years.
You know, I feel like I'm all 40 right now. So it's been very stressful. But, you know, my dad's always been very big on balance. You have to balance your music. You have to balance your work. And to me, I want to be the biggest rock star in the world. And to me, I can't balance that. If I want to be something extraordinary, I have to work extraordinarily unbalanced for something like that. So I'm fine with no sleep.
Yeah, you get everything that you put in, you're going to get back.
Oh, most definitely. That is so true. That's so true.
That's kind of something I feel that I see. A lot of people don't quite grasp that.
No.
It's always like, well, you know, there's going to be, especially in the music world, it's like there's going to be somebody that's going to be walking by the practice space, and they're going to hear me and they're going to sign me up, and then I'm going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
It's a Sunshine Records deal with Johnny Cash.
Right.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But the truth is you basically, in order to make it, you basically had to have made it on your own.
I did.
Before anybody.
I really did.
But, and that's just everybody. I feel like you have to do anything, you have to do it all yourself.
Yep.
Even if you want to get signed to a huge record label. You know, if you want to get signed to a huge record label, you have to be able to tour and sustain and
on a penny,
and you have to be able to pack your house and sell your albums. You have to, you know, sell thousands of albums just on your own before anybody would even pick you up.
Without selling your soul.
Yeah.
Which is a big part.
And I feel like that's what happens when you just get your major label.
Oh, most definitely. That's, unfortunately, you know, I just said something about Johnny Cash and whatnot. I wish that was still a thing, but so many people do, with social media and whatnot, they just don't do it anymore. I wish I could, you know, bring that back, but times are changing.
Right.
So.
What do you like most about that attitude, I guess, or bringing what about Johnny Cash back?
Do you mean like the era of the music, or
business? What you miss about it, just the business of it, just being able to go in there and showcase your talents, and then it's based on talent and not necessarily what you know, what they can market you as.
It's a classic story, and I think a lot of people are so driven by things like that, and you know, we all want what we can't have, and
right.
I want it to come back, but who knows if it will, but. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to use this as an example. I like Miley Cyrus, you know? But without her dad, she wouldn't have, you know, done that. And I wish that people like her could have taken her talents and gone and shown her talents rather than, you know, it's not what you can do, it's about who knows who. And I'm quoting Yellow Wolf on that. So
that's true, though. Knowing people helps tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's helped me tremendously with my podcast because I get to have great guests. But but in music or entertainment in general,
it's dog eat dog.
It is. And that's the hardest part about living in that world and being on that grind is sometimes you have to compromise your morals or your outlook on things to, you know, and you have to like sometimes you got to be like be undercutting of other people. And that was the big thing that I never like. Did.
Yeah.
And I was always sometimes, not always, but I would say I was sometimes on the opposite end of that where like someone would undercut me take from course. Me. And I'm just like, you know what? If that's the way they want to live, that's fine.
That happens but I'm not to me a lot with modeling because the town that I'm from, it's actually Mishawaka. It's a sister city of South Bend. Our town is so small and nude modeling was not a thing out north where I'm from. Until, and I'm not bragging here at all.
Let me toot my own horn real quick.
No one was doing it. And, you know, that's very inspiring to me to see that, you know, people are watching and liking what I'm doing. But I've had so many people start doing this modeling thing, and it's so bad. You know,
oh my gosh.
It's so bad. Some of them, they're very talented, you know, models and whatnot. But I definitely see that a lot of people will take from you. But, you know, that comes to being extraordinary. As I said before, you know, you don't have to start from the bottom if you've already built yourself up. You know,
right.
You will always have to be one step ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, so
what how have your friends and your I mean, I guess your family probably would not be looking at your modeling, a lot of your modeling.
They do. They really do. Yeah.
Well, how have they reacted to it?
I've been modeling for almost 2 years now, I believe. And when I first started, it was difficult. I hid it from my parents for a long time. They knew I was modeling, but they didn't really know for a fact what kind of modeling I was doing. Two of my best friends in the world kind of almost slapped me in the face, said, "What are you doing?" And actually one of them, I visited down in Indy a few days ago, and here she is saying, "Good luck on your shoot tomorrow. Definitely shoot me some pictures," because it's not for sexual attention. It's not anything like that. It's very much artistic.
Yeah. And I think people have a certain preconceived notion about it, but once they realize what you're doing is not, you know, you're not like in an adult magazine or something like that. It's not, it's an actual tasteful artist thing. And when they see that, I think they'll, you know, a lot of people will react positively when they finally get, they see what it is. It's not the preconceived notion that they have of it.
Most definitely. Yeah. So definitely a lot of people's ideas on it are changing. And if I have created this business or this concept of idea, Untamed Anti-Human, I have to believe in it.
Yeah.
And that didn't come naturally. That has me talking to myself into believing that what I'm doing is okay. So when I build my website, I didn't want to show my dad. I wanted him to see that I built this amazing website, but I didn't want him to see the content on it. And I just said, excuse my language, but fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
And I showed him and he said, you know, wow, you're very talented in web design. I don't like the concept or the content, but okay. So I had to step over that flaming fire.
I had someone tell me just the other day, and I don't know if they're quoting someone, and if they are, I might just Google this and I'll give the proper cred, but they said, you need to make art like your parents are dead. And I was like, man, that's deep, but you know, you got to think of it too.
Something new and original.
Could you imagine if,
oh my God,
you know, David Bowie or Marilyn Manson or all, you know, if Salvador Dali or Andy Warhol or anybody that makes art of any sort of thing, we're like, I'm really worried about what my parents are going to think about this. I mean, it's
the world would be a different place.
Exactly. It's denying the world of just a creative
vision. It's natural.
Vision.
It's naturalness. Yeah.
You know, well, and what we'll do here now is we've talked about your music career, and you said you have an album that's going to be coming out, and it's called Fire Queen.
It is called Fire Queen.
What's the concept behind it?
Rock and roll. You know, I I don't usually write with a concept in mind when it comes to multiple songs. But when it came to this song, I want my first album to show and convey exactly what I am. And it's very rock and roll. It's about drinking and I'm not saying me, I'm just saying in general, maybe drugs or sex or whatever. So that's what that is.
The old fashioned themes of rock and roll.
Oh yeah.
What made rock and roll dangerous and people like it in the first place.
I will bring it back. Quote me on that heavily.
Well, we will, take a short break here. And while we're doing that, we're going to play, your first single,
yes,
of Fire Queen. It's called Liquid Demon.
Yep.
And give me just a little bit of backstory on Liquid Demon before we hit that.
Liquid Demon is very different than any song I've ever written. It's all electronic. I am very proud of the song. It's about someone, whoever you may be out there, struggling with any kind of abuse of possibly substance, whatever, but specifically this song, alcoholism.
Right.
So,
well, guys, this is going to be Liquid Demon from Lady Robert. All right, guys, that was Lady Robert with Liquid Demon. Yeah, and that you're saying that was like an electronic track.
It is. It's very different than my other music, for sure.
What are your biggest influences in that sort of? Do you have any? Are you just winging it?
No, I...
Like, we're going to try this electronically, see how that mm-hmm. goes.
That's, I think, the reason that was so genuine and such an honest, deep song is because I didn't take the sound from anyone. We sat in the studio. I had my piano and I had my DJ, my producer. And he was making the beat, and I didn't even know what we were going to sing the song about. And I just found something that was, you know, very evident in a friendship at that point. And I didn't base it on anything else other than what exactly was happening in that moment. And I think that's where some of the most honest, best music comes from.
Yeah, you just pull it. You just get the muse.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You pull it out of inspirado.
And it came out of nowhere, you know?
That's always the best. Any songs that we've written that I feel are like I'm super proud of are the ones that you write in like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
When you least expect it. And you're like, oh, well, I just wrote this song and it didn't take any time.
It was great.
It just came out of thin air.
Yeah.
So, and you're in the studio. You're working on it. You're working on the new album.
Yes, we are.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait, Sean. I can't wait either. You will be the first person to get a vinyl copy.
A vinyl copy.
I see that you're also a collector of vinyl, which I'm
I just started huge. Collecting.
I started about 2 years ago, and I've got quite a bit.
That is one of the other residents of the Smithsonian's vinyl collection there. Mine is much smaller. I only have like maybe five or six choice albums right now.
Mm-hmm.
But... we just got a new record player.
Yep,
and
it's a nice one. Is that the one right there? That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and so we just got a new one, and I've just started, but I have all my favorites. So I have.
Sometimes it takes a while. So I see you have a Kiss poster right here. I was actually looking for the Ace Frehley album for about a year.
That's the best one.
It is the best
one. Of all the solo albums?
New York Groove, are you kidding me? What an amazing song.
I'm a huge Kiss fan, and Ace is my favorite member.
Ace is mine, too.
And my favorite albums are like ones, like, I love like Hotter Than Hell.
Hotter Than Hell, yeah.
But you get some of like his songwriting in it. Like his actual guitar playing is like all over that album.
It's crazy.
I'm really into that one. And then Creatures of the Night is probably my favorite, even though he's not on most of it. But I love the album cover. I found that at a Kiss convention. I went to a Kiss convention in Indianapolis.
You probably met some amazing people there, didn't you?
I met Eric Singer there and Bruce Kulick.
I don't know who they are.
Well, Eric Singer is the drummer currently for Kiss.
See, I am more original OG Kiss.
Yeah.
So
some of my favorite eras of Kiss, I love the original era. I love Kiss in the 80s also.
Yes.
Even though they're not Kiss in the 70s at all. But I was like, man, for an 80s band, like this is, they're tight. And Kiss in the 90s has probably the most talented musical lineup. And Eric Singer and Bruce Kulick both played for Kiss in the 90s.
Okay.
Before they reunited.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I saw them 8 times.
I've never seen them. I'm pretty good friends with one of their sound guys, who's actually on tour with Ariana Grande right now. He tours with Kiss and 6 a.m. So I had an opportunity to meet them a few months ago, and I never ended up going, but I will be there on their next tour.
Well, you can invite me along.
I will. Okay.
I would love to
go. We'll get a podcast with Gene or Paul.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be amazing.
And secretly, I was thinking, I wouldn't mind tickets to the old Ariana Grande concert either.
Well, I'll be backstage on that one, too. So
I've always, I have certain people that are on my list of I want to have an interview. I feel like maybe I would know that I have made it.
And
Jennifer Lawrence is number one on my list because I feel like she's
number one on my list, too.
But I feel like she's from Louisville.
Louisville.
And that talk about a success story, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She's out there doing it, and she's
doing it big.
She's from right here in my backyard, and so I'd love to have her on the show. And then I was I mentioned something the other day. I was like, once I get J Law on the show, I can get Agra on the show, I can get Mai Cy on the show. So Miley Cyrus, Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have to set me up with that.
I will very much try to pull some strings.
Pull some strings.
I will.
We got to get them on the show, guys.
I will get them here.
So we'll make that happen.
You call this the Smithsonian?
The Smithsonian.
Yeah, I'll send him a letter.
Be like, he has two living rooms.
Two living rooms and a bar.
And a bar.
And a Kiss poster.
And a Kiss poster. And a life-size poster or life-size cardboard cutout of Michael Jackson. That overlooks our little podcast area here.
He is the Night at the Museum man.
Yeah, exactly. So... you and your dad influenced you to love music.
Oh, yes. Highly.
What would you say is your favorite song?
of my dad's or of music in general?
Just music in general, okay. But that's awesome that your dad has songs.
Oh, most definitely.
I wish my dad had songs.
I actually have a story.
My dad's a jeweler.
I have a story after this.
He has rings.
Rings. Hey, that's all right. I'll take some of those too. my favorite song of all time is Tiny Dancer. Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
Yes.
It's my favorite song of all time.
Elton John was my first concert ever. I think I was 6 years old, and I was so influenced, I think I cried the whole time.
That's fantastic.
It was. Las Vegas with the red piano, and I'll never forget it. Never.
You saw him in Las Vegas?
Yes, I did.
That is crazy. Yeah. What a great way to have a first concert.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of people out there, so.
My mom had the Elton John's Greatest Hits.
Oh, both vinyls? I have them both, yeah.
The one that she had, the classic, I always see this album out, and I always see people with it. It's the one where he's wearing the white suit.
Yep.
And That was like a staple in my house.
Yeah,
like I said, my mom liked country, but she did like some rock,
mm-hmm.
The classic rock, of course. And so, like on Sundays, we rocked a little bit. Bryan Adams' Greatest Hits, Elton John's Greatest Hits. When we were cleaning the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Elton John.
Oh, I he is my angel. I play piano, and it took me about 6 months to learn Tiny Dancer on piano. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
When I think of Tiny Dancer, you know what I think of?
Tony Danza.
You know what else I think of?
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous.
The movie.
That I tell you what, if you were to take that song out of that movie,
it wouldn't be the same.
I don't
same
even
movie.
Know if that movie would be.
No.
That
no.
That song really, really makes that movie.
And actually, what is her name? Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Her name is Lady.
Yes, that's true.
At the end of the movie, she says, "My name's Lady. Lady Goodman."
Lady Goodman.
Yep.
I love that scene, and I think that's the song that plays, but just. You see her kind of like skating on all the flyers.
Yep.
In the empty ballroom.
Yep. Beautiful scene.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
So great.
Cameron Crowe.
Yep.
I want to get Cameron Crowe on here because I want to know why Cameron Crowe made a movie about Elizabethtown, Kentucky that's set in Louisville. And Elizabethtown is just, and you might not be geographically familiar with the area, but it's about 20 minutes south of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing going on there. And so like the whole movie takes place in Louisville.
Louisville.
Because. Nothing's going on in Elizabethtown, really.
I actually heard that someone from that movie, that's a kind of a true story, that I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that he used to follow around Led Zeppelin. And
that's true. Almost Famous is like almost his
really,
memoir.
It really is, you know, and Stillwater is Led Zeppelin.
Really?
It's very much Led Zeppelin.
I guess you could. I could see that.
I think so. The look and the sound of the music. They play a song called Fever Dog. That's a great song. Great song.
Like Black Dog.
Black Dog, yeah.
You know, from Zeppelin.
Right. Wow, I never put two and two together. Okay. Wow.
I love that movie, and I love so much.
I watched it last week.
there's so many great lines, but I love whenever Jason Lee's character is giving the interview, and, you know, he's saying all this stuff, and then he just... pauses and he goes, and the chicks are great.
And the chicks are great.
And the chicks are great. I'm like, that's the most 70s rock thing you could say.
I've actually taken something from that movie when it comes to entertaining on stage. It was actually that part, I believe. He said, you know, I find the one person in the crowd that's not getting off, and I get him off. And I think I lost my pants at that part of the movie, and I live my life by that.
There you go. You know, also talking about influence, I don't know, we were talking about Kiss and we were talking about that, but in the scene where he gets electrocuted on stage, that actually happened to Ace Frehley once.
It happens a lot more than people understand, actually. That's
what I love about being a drummer. I'm not touching anything electrical.
You don't have to do that.
All I have to do is just hold on to these drumsticks and try to look cool.
Do you ever hit yourself in the face with a drumstick?
I've hit myself in the head. Many times.
I bet. Now I'm interviewing you. Look at this.
I love our dynamic. I love what we've done here.
Yes.
Yeah, I have sustained quite a few injuries, mostly like to your hands, like you bust your knuckle or something like that.
Oh,
I broke a finger.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been dumb enough to like accidentally hit myself in the face or hit yourself in the... A lot of drummers will just have huge bruises right on the top of their thigh from always hitting
them. My dad was a drummer,
But...
He used to chase us around the house with his drumsticks and hit us.
My biggest beef... is to bring my world of drums and your world of modeling together.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed it's like damn near impossible to see a good picture of a drummer?
Oh, we will make this happen, Sean.
I feel like Oh, dude. Hey, guys. I have an alarm because it's 3:10 on a Sunday. Why wouldn't my phone go off in the middle of the podcast?
That sounds about right.
It is 3:10 p.m. on a Sunday. So let me turn my alarms off. I owe you guys a soda pop for that one. But yeah, I feel like, what was I going to say about being a drummer? Yeah, I just feel like I've seen hundreds of pictures of me that just look like I'm about to sneeze.
Really?
See, or something like my eyes are closed or my face is real dumb.
I don't think other people see it that way because I know that you know I'm a big follower of Uh-huh Baby Yeah.
Yes.
And I used to follow you guys very hard and I've seen a lot of pictures of you and I think they look absolutely fantastic.
If I can lick a drumstick though,
I've seen that picture.
That's the Sean Smith signature. The Sean Thriller Smith signature pose would be licking a drumstick. Yeah. And now that I have a podcast, my new thing will be licking the microphone.
Please do.
Just like David Lee Roth.
And I must say, Sean, I have been in you guys' the garage where you used to practice.
The old stomping grounds.
It was great. When you guys used to do your band practices, and I loved it. It was so electric. I just have to throw that in there.
Thank you.
It's one of my favorite memories of all time.
We always tried to be a band that was like very low production, I guess, as far as like we didn't want to do a lot of... you know, you'll see a lot of bands that do a lot of backing tracks or a lot of, they'll lip sync certain parts or they'll have this and this.
No.
And we were always just like, raw. We're going to be the rawest.
Uncut.
Uncut, uncensored.
And it's
Jerry
so
Springer
good.
Type
it's
band.
It's so good. And you guys worked really well with that. You know, the way that Kevin, the lead singer, and Blake, the bassist, I used to see Blake go upside down on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And that was just... some of my favorite
we're
times
trying to bring you know
life.
We were trying to do something we're trying to bring something back
I
those were the good
I
old
will
days.
Buy the first ticket I promise you that
to the reunion show
I want that ticket I want that ticket
I'll tell you what I'll pull some strings for you pull some strings for me with Ariana Grande
I will and, I told you I'm sending her a letter
but so I want to touch back on because you just launched your site
yes
and that's going to be a huge thing again untamed anti-human
yes.
And it's a lifestyle.
It is. And not a lot of people live by it. There is a very small percentage of people who genuinely live by it. And the team that we have right now, they live by it.
What's the credo? What's the creed, brother?
I don't even know what that means, brother.
What is it that you live by? Just the fact that you're going to be true to yourself, do what you want?
Yeah. You know, we interview all of our models and that's on the website. That's what sets us apart a lot is not only do we post all these sexy pictures of our girls, but we want you to get to know them. So the first question I asked every part of our team, our photographers, our models, our behind the scenes specialists, our web designers, whatever. I said, what does it mean to be untamed? And it's hard to put that question on the site because everybody's answer is pretty much the same. It's, you know, to me, it means I don't give a fuck,
right.
You know, so many people have so many things they want to do and we never do them. We just don't. And I 2 years ago, I literally got out of bed. I tell people the story all the time. I swung my feet off the bed and I stood up and I said, I'm going to do something with my life and I don't care what it is, but I'm going to do it big. And that's where Untamed came from, is swinging my feet off the bed and standing up and being who I want to be and not who you want me to be, you know?
That's so important.
It is.
In this day and age, I sound so old. Let my 30-year-old self
please,
give you some
please.
Advice. I feel like in this day and age, we're under such a microscope and it's like if we do something and try to put it out there, kind of like what you were saying, if someone hates on that, can deter a lot of people.
Oh, most definitely. But you can't look at it like that.
Right. But I just feel like so many people stop before they ever really get started because we have a way of not building up or nurturing potential like that. It's mostly we try to shut people down or be critical and most of the time overly critical.
You know what? I say to that, fuck that.
Yeah.
Excuse my language again, but... I like.
You can cuss on this.
Thank fucking God, Jesus. I like to live that I am my biggest critic. I wrote a song once and I said, my worst enemy is me.
Right.
And I really do live by that. But I try to do it in the most positive of ways. I take the most negative things in life and I will always learn from them. You know, I understand that your opinion, if I really care about you, does matter, but I will build on it. Right. I'm going to think about it, but I'm not going to live my life by it. I will not let it.
Yeah, not going to center around.
No, I won't do it. I refuse to do it.
That's a great way to live. Like I said, I feel like we're just, everybody's so interconnected and everybody is so interconnected in other people's business.
Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And the thing is if you fail hard, if I put out a podcast and it absolutely, like if my first podcast was absolutely horrid, you know, and if somebody was like, man, this sucks, you should definitely never podcast again. I would have felt bad about it, you know?
Oh, most definitely.
But that's something that I've been trying so hard to get over. And as I get older, I'm just like, you know, you really have to just do what you want to do. And not only should you not be afraid to fail, you should, if you do fail, embrace every bit of it.
Learn.
And learn from it.
And Sean, I actually asked Sean 2 weeks ago to model for Untamed Anti-Human. And
I don't know if I have it in me.
I disagree, because exactly what you just said, the two words that came to mind is anti-human. You know, if I fail, it's going to deter me. If you think that I haven't been deterred.
Right.
And deterred.
Deterred.
Deterred. I have been multiple times, but I continue to swing my feet over the bed and stand up. And, you know, even if you would have failed, quote unquote, on your first or your third or your last one, I don't think that you would stop continuing to live what dream that, you know, you're dreaming.
You just have to always be willing to fail. Be willing to fail as big as it as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's how you learn. And if you listen to any successful person, they're going to tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
And then I also have an awesome quote from Paul Stanley talking about KISS. And he just says, the people that will tell you that you can't do it are the ones that have failed.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I have a quote for you here.
Oh.
I know that you're going to kind of understand this as well. People say, well, what do you do when you fuck up on stage? And you say, it's not what if I fuck up on stage. I'm going to.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's what you do when you fuck up on stage.
Yeah.
And that's very much the lifestyle that you have to live, and you have to remember that. You are going to go down a wrong path. It's a fork in the road every choice that, you know, you come by every day. But it's picking left or right and knowing that it's the right one.
Right.
And continuing down it, not turning back.
And just picking yourself up after it. Like, I'm sure, well, I know, you know, Michael Jordan's going to miss shots.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he's probably going to go down in history as, you know, one of, if not the greatest basketball player of all time.
I'm a big Bulls fan.
So, you know, he misses shots. Or if you're the most classically trained musician, you're going to hit a wrong note sometime.
And you sit back in the studio and you practice that song. Or Michael Jordan is going to go out and he's going to shoot that same shot that he missed.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And then also, too, just brush it off and go about, you know what? There's always tomorrow.
Fuck it.
Just keep trying. You know what I'm saying? Just keep on keeping on, brother.
Keep on keeping on. All right, Steve Miller Band.
So you have multiple models for this website. I will say, guys, this is probably going to be an NSFW website, so not suitable for work.
Yeah.
But it's definitely suitable for your phone and your own private perusing of the internet. But so you have other models. What does your team consist of, or who all does your team consist of?
Right now, there's three models, and since we launched the idea of Untamed, we've had so many male and female people contact us saying, what can I do to become this? Like, what can I do to become a part of your team? And we have so many different people. We want male, female. We want weird. We want classy. We want smart and not so smart. We want it all. But the biggest thing that I want is interesting people. Because our plan is to follow these people around so the viewer can get to know our girls, our ladies. And
Your guys.
And our guys. Yes, thank you. And, you know, if they're playing a show, if I'm going to go play a show, I want that to be a live broadcast on all of our social medias. We want to follow these people around, so we want interesting people that people want to know about. But we're going to start holding auditions for new models, And we're looking for anybody who is interested in spitting in the face of the law, as I said earlier. Not literally, because I would never do that.
Right, exactly. That would probably land you some time in the slammer.
I don't want to do that. but honest, genuine people, I don't care what you look like. I want to know who you are. And that's why we interview our ladies. That's why we follow our ladies around with cameras, because you can look at a person and say, wow, in a positive or negative way. But getting to know a person, and I pick at people, I will pick your brain hard. You won't like it. But that's what we do with our girls. And we, you know, one of our interview questions is your most guilty pleasure. And I say, answer. I want the most honest, genuine answer. We don't put all of our answers online. But right. I want people to know who you are in the most interesting of ways. So we're looking for anybody who believes.
If you were to ask me that question, what's my guilty pleasure?
Yeah, let me know. Let me
interview
you
again.
I would say
this. I just don't feel guilty about the things that I like.
Oh, do you want to know mine? Ask me.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Being spit on.
That's your guilty pleasure?
Not in general, okay? I hope my boyfriend listens to this podcast.
I'm sure he's listening.
I hope so. Not in general. I don't want to walk into Walmart and someone, you know. But, oh, my God, in bed, if you spit on me, it's game over.
That is
game over.
Guys, you heard it first here.
Yeah, Lady
boyfriend,
Robert.
You heard it first. I don't feel guilty for my pleasures.
Good for
but
you.
My pleasure, my
untamed
thing is
anti-human.
When you ask
baby.
Me like what my guilty pleasures are, I was gonna say like I was like, well, maybe it's
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, I was thinking that would be something like that. Like, oh, I like to watch Beverly Hills 90210,
okay.
Even though it's been off the air for 20 years, and I'm a 30-year-old man.
That's awesome.
You know,
we need to make a date of this.
But
Sean.
I don't feel everybody that I talk to about 90210 is immediately like,
I've never
hey,
seen it.
I would love to watch it.
I've never seen.
I'm watching it for the first time. I've never watched it before. And boy, am I really into it.
Okay, I'm gonna
and
have
I don't
to do
read
that.
Any spoilers, so yeah. Guys, do not ever post a spoiler
or fuck you
around me because I will spoil your life.
He will spit on you in Walmart.
And some people would be into that. So, guys, if you have a guilty pleasure, why don't you just comment what your guilty pleasure
yes,
is?
Yes, please.
She said spit on. Mine was probably Beverly Hills 90210, but I don't even feel guilty
similar.
About it.
Very similar.
It's so similar.
It's so good.
I don't even feel guilty about that, though. But I guess that's my thing. If you like something, so many people do feel guilty about things that they like, or they'll act like they don't like it. And I'm like, come on, dude, it's okay if you like whatever it is. Like if you like cartoons and you're like 30.
I love cartoons.
Or if you like pop music and you're like this like death metal guy, like just like it.
Or mashed potatoes and mustard. That's gross.
You are about to get out of here. No, I could probably be into that. Mashed potatoes, great. Mustard,
great. Together, not so great.
I don't know. Maybe not.
No,
what's the weirdest food you're into?
Oh, boy. I love sushi. That's not so weird, though. I don't know. I really like peanut butter butter sandwiches.
Peanut butter butter
yeah.
sandwiches?
Anything alcohol?
Mm. See, I
weird?
Love peanut butter. I've never had a peanut butter and butter sandwich.
Think of the consistency. Oh, you know what? The weirdest thing I like. Put an avocado and a banana in a blender. It is amazing. It sounds disgusting. It's so good.
It's like a banana guac.
A guac.
It's like a guanana.
A guanana.
It's like a guanana. Avocadonana. Is what you're saying here.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I like? Like I really randomly am
I
into?
I could only imagine.
This is not, it's not even crazy, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like really... Sometimes I get really super into ramen noodles.
I love ramen noodles with like, eggs.
And everybody, I don't church them up. I'm just like really, like I'll just take a straight shot of Oriental ramen.
Okay.
Or chicken ramen or
and
whatever.
Do you cook them or just, I know, this is going to sound weird, but I know some people who just take bites right out of the noodles.
That's the tour.
Yeah.
We used to make ramen noodles with a coffee maker.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you,
no coffee.
That's a tour tip for you guys. You can make ramen noodles with a coffee maker. You can also make hot dogs if you're a fucking weirdo.
Oh,
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to boil
I'm
a hot
do
dog
it.
And do that.
I'm going to make my banana guana.
My banana
in
guanana.
A coffee maker.
But yeah, and sometimes, yeah, you just eat them straight out of the bag because you're not going to catch some hot water. But
yeah.
I get really into ramen. The other day, I bought like $4 worth, which was like easily.
A lot.
Yeah, a trash bag filled with ramen.
Actually, if I do remember correctly, when you were on the road... Two tours ago with Baby, I sent you guys a care package.
Mm-hmm.
man, that was a far way. I think you guys were in California, and I'm pretty sure I put a lot of ramen noodles in that.
I'm pretty sure that
remember.
I ate several of the ramen
You're
nude
welcome,
packs.
My friend.
Thanks for the nudes. Guys, if you're in a band, send nudes is a totally different meaning because you just mean please send ramen noodles.
Oh, see, I had no idea.
Thanks for the ramen nudes.
Well, you know what? If you and Aha Baby do the reunion tour, I will send all the nudes.
Send all the nudes. I want a 30-pack of Oriental top ramen nudes.
I'll send the nudes in the coffee maker.
In a coffee maker. That's great. And then, so to wrap it up here, give me all your links.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? What's your Instagram? What's your online presence?
Actually, if you're following me behind my truck, I have a bumper sticker of my Instagram name. I think that's definitely helped. My Instagram name is @LadyRobertX. It's not hard to find me. You'll definitely know you hit my page when you found it. Our website is www.untamedantihuman.com. And that's pretty much all the social media that I promote at this point.
Well, I'm going to post those links so everybody can find you. Guys, they might be NSFW links. Use your best judgment. Yeah. You know what, though? But maybe you work at a cool place. They don't care about that sort of thing. And plus, you have your phone. You don't have to be flashing those puppies around.
Yeah, go to the bathroom. Punch one out, dude.
You'll be flashing those babies around here.
Not like I do, at least.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, So, I want to thank you for coming all the way from South Bend.
Always.
To this most southern point of India. I don't even know if that's true, the most southern point, but... To a pretty southern point.
It's pretty fucking close.
We are literally just 2 minutes from Kentucky.
You are Louisville.
Louisville.
Yes.
Thank you for coming all the way across the state.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. I'm so happy I got to see you. It's been about a year and a half since I've seen you.
I thank you so much for joining us here.
Of course.
And guys, so check out Lady Robert. I'm going to post all the links. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. As far as I go, I say this every week. You know where you can find me. SeanVsWild.com, iTunes, Stitcher. I'm on Twitter @SeanVsWild. Then I'm not a very good tweeter. Maybe I'll have to ask you for some help. With the tweets.
Social media expert right
with
here.
With the tweet. Give me the tweet deets.
Yes.
I'm on Facebook. I'm also on, anything else. Hit me up on Tinder and all that.
Of course.
Oh, guys, make sure you hit up the podcast on Tinder and Bumble and MySpace. So.
Oh, yeah, MySpace. Don't forget that
Don't forget that one.
Yeah. And LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn, yes. Definitely. Send me something on LinkedIn. I don't even know what you send on LinkedIn.
I don't either.
Send me a message on LinkedIn.
I have no idea.
All right, guys, that's it for me and Lady Robert. And for all you untamed anti-humans out there, thanks for tuning in to the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
SeanVsWild.com.